Ghost Stories Online.
When you sign up to be an EPP, extra podcast person to Real Ghost Stories Online, you'll have access to the best ghost stories we've ever told.
The oven doors started slamming open and closed. And in places like this, oven doors take up entire walls.
Never before had I seen such clear evidence of something non-human being in a room with me.
Because it felt like somebody was here. You know, you see, I did it written in paint, where you just painted.
These are stories only EPP members have access to.
I don't know why, but I just wonder if that scream isn't a family member that was there to claim their loved one.
There was like something standing there right in the threshold of the doorway, and I was paralyzed. I couldn't breathe.
It's only $5 a month when you sign up at realghoststoriesonline.com by clicking Become an EPP.
There was an old lady standing at the foot of the bed, and she said she could see details and everything. You know, it just looked like an old lady standing at the foot of the bed.
You'll get access to the best ghost stories and exclusive video content we've ever created.
I have no doubt in my mind that it was completely supernatural.
But it felt like it was in my head. Like, it didn't feel like I was hearing it. It felt like it was in my head.
Become an EPP now and help keep our show on the air. At realghoststoriesonline.com, click Become an EPP.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is. Our phone number, 855-853-4802, to share your real ghost story with us. The website, realghoststoriesonline.com, where you can write in, or you can always email in your audio file to Jenny, J-E-N-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com. And she would like it to just be stories that are sent to her.
Yeah, I'm just requesting stories.
And no more pictures sent to her. If you want to send your pictures, send them to me. Tony, T-O-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com. And we can use those on an upcoming episode of Seeing Ghosts.
Mm-hmm.
Some of you have been freaking out Jenny a little bit. Good job.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
it's okay.
There you go. Got a lot of stories here. Some we're going to read today. Some were some calls as well. I'm happy to say. Or Harp anyway, is on top of it, and she's ready for her ghost story this year.
For the kid-friendly show. Okay.
So I'm assuming we're doing one at some point.
Yes.
Or at least a segment on the show of it. And she was telling me this morning what her ghost story is going to be.
Okay.
And she's got quite the little mind. Last year, you might remember that she kind of shared a story that was, it was her retelling of something that she saw, I believe, on an episode of Curious George.
Yeah, it's Curious George Halloween.
This year, it's a Harper original.
It is.
It's a Harper original.
And it's odd.
It's involving a defunct steakhouse.
Uh-huh.
A closed down steakhouse. And no joke, I asked her, what are we calling this story? And I'm not going to share the story yet. I'll let her share the story. But I'll tell you the title of it. And this is not, she does not listen to our show. She does not, hear some of the things that we talk about. Of course, you know, some of my favorite stories, it sounds a lot like it,
mm-hmm.
but, it is not really involving that at all. She just kind of put these words together because it's all involved in the story that she's made up. She's calling it Zombie Ghost Cow.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe she's overheard that term.
Maybe. I don't know.
Zombie ghost clown.
Yeah.
Zombie ghost cow.
I know, but she's calling it zombie ghost cow.
Uh-huh.
And it involves a steakhouse. So you do the math on that.
Yeah.
It's going to be a fun one. And I can't wait for her to share it.
Yeah.
So she shared it with me on the way to school today. And then right before we got out of the car, she goes, I'm going to tell all my friends about the zombie ghost cow.
Like, that's great.
You know, good luck, honey, doing that. And I asked her when she got home today. I said, so how did you tell your friends about your ghost story that you made up? Yeah, but they wouldn't listen. Just imagine the look on these other 3 and 4 year olds' face. She's like trying to gather them around in a circle, and they think they're going to hear like Humpty Dumpty, and here's a story of a haunted steakhouse.
Just watch. Our kid will be the one that gives the other kid nightmares.
It'll be good times. Mm-hmm. Good times. All right. Let's go to our first story today. It comes into us from Claudia. Claudia says, hello, Jenny and Tony. I wrote in a while back, and I recently had what I think was a ghostly encounter. Some backstory. It will be long. I moved into my house 3 years ago. The house was built in the 90s, and it was a rental for many years. My house is a traditional two-story home with rooms upstairs and a game room. The main floor is typical master bedroom below in the general living area. When I moved into the house 3 years ago, this lady with kids pulled up to my house and asked if I was the new owner of the house, and I said yes. She proceeded to tell me she was the previous tenant of the house before the owner sold it to me. She asked me if I had seen the ghost children upstairs yet. I told her not really, but the house did seem creepy because it was still empty. Well, that was all she told me, and I asked her why she didn't buy the house when it was for sale, and she said she didn't like the layout. After that, I was really scared, and of course my husband and my dad were upset that lady just told me that and left. So I had the house blessed and never encountered anything or anyone myself. My brother did live with me for 2 years, and he is a true sensitive, and he said he did see a woman peek into the room a couple of times, or shadows, but nothing beyond that. Like I mentioned before, I don't think I'm sensitive in that regard. I mostly dream things that come out to be true, or I dream of my mother, and a lot, I just feel that she comes and visits me. Sorry, this is long. Let me tell you my encounter. I now have a son. He's 18 months, and we have a camera monitor in his room. And my biggest fear is that one day I'll hear his voice. And this voice, I'll hear this voice, it's not his. This thankfully has not happened yet. And my son does not speak to empty corners or nothing of that nature. That is why this event was really creepy. We had both come home from work and daycare. He and I were in my room. I was lying down, and he was next to me and my phone playing with it. I had my bedroom door, which I never was open, which I never do because I grew up with my mother, who never left doors open. This day, I didn't think about it. My son and I were on my bed opposite the door with our backs turned when my son stops looking at the phone, turns around and looks up towards the door opening and hands out the phone towards the door and starts talking to the doorway. My son, of course, cannot speak yet, and when he wants you to do anything, he hands you the object and points to what he wants. As you can imagine, seeing him do this freaked me out, and I immediately took the phone away from him and called my husband to hurry home. After that, I let our dogs in the house and waited by the door for him to come in. I didn't encounter anything else that weekend. One more story. My brother and I have mentioned before. He has a daughter 2 months older than my son. One night she spent the night, and we had both children in my son's room for bedtime. My niece was babbling away before bedtime, and my son was already asleep, and from the monitor I heard a voice say, "She can hear us." As soon as I heard that, I woke up my husband, who never hears anything, but that was it. Thank you, I'm an EPP, and always love the show.
I can't believe the woman just stopped by with her kids in the car to just freak you out and tell you your house is haunted. I mean, that's. I just don't think you should do that. Unless you know of something that's, like, dangerous, I don't think you should tell somebody, because maybe they're not having any problem. You know?
I don't quite understand why.
Why she did it?
Yeah.
Probably just because she's made a poor choice in telling our poor listener, hey, your house is haunted.
You know, unless it was one of those things where it's weighing on her and she felt it's her duty.
Maybe she needed, you know, that validation of knowing she wasn't the only one that had experiences there.
Yeah, maybe she was hoping for someone to reply back with, oh, I know, and then to come back. And she didn't exactly get that at that moment. But I'm sure there's some back reason why this woman was driven to do that. I don't know what that is or why that is. And it's not right.
No.
But there was some reason for it.
I mean, she may have still had experiences in her house, but she didn't need this lady stopping by and stirring the pot.
Yeah, I agree. Ah, the baby monitors.
Uh-huh.
We were never allowed to have one. Were you?
Well, our baby was across the hall.
That's true. She was right there. What was the reason why it was, did you not want it? Were you?
Because I would not be able to sleep hearing every little normal baby noise.
I see, yeah, just the... Yeah.
I mean, even, you know, just the little you know, they scratch their bed.
I mean, she was all of like 6 feet away.
Right. So and they make noise on their own, mm-hmm. which is perfectly normal without them needing you.
Yeah.
And if I'm hearing that, I'm not going to be able to sleep.
At all.
Mm-mm.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's true. I mean, it makes sense when they're like far away.
Sure.
But
sure.
But she was right there.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think we ended up using the one that I had bought for like storms.
A little while. We did. We hooked it up to where we had it pointed out the window so we could see the potential damage as it was happening or what was going on outside while we were down in our storm room.
And the thing is, the camera on it was so crappy that you couldn't tell either way. You kind of looked at it going, is the house still there or is that just a really bad camera?
Yeah.
It was a really bad camera. So there you go. All right, next letter. Hi, Tony and Jenny. I've called in before on January or late December and was aired on the episode No Laughing Matter. My story was the one about my brother laughing at the gravestone. You also aired a couple of the photos I've sent in on seeing ghosts. I was in the December episode and a March episode. Anyway, I'm writing in today because on EPP 105, there was a listener that wrote in talking about the radio making odd noises. I've had a very similar experience happen to me and two of my friends back in 2011. For privacy's sake, I'll be using different names for the people I was with. I lived in California at the time in a small town called Woodland. I was with my friend Terry and his girlfriend Carrie. We were in Carrie's truck waiting outside my other friend's house, Roger. At this time, we were about 19 to 20 years old. While we were sitting there, bored out of our minds, running out of things to talk about, we turned on the radio. Roger finally came out of the house, moving a speed you could possibly call dirt slow. We started yelling for him to hurry and get in. As he quickened his pace, the radio changed to a loud volume, unnaturally loud, almost deafening. It was playing something odd, like whispers and wind, as she said in her story, though we did not hear a voice. It was just this garbled sound over top of everything else. He started to freak out because his dad was asleep and would absolutely be pissed if we woke him up, especially seeing that Roger was heading out of the house at almost midnight. He sped up to a healthy clip, jumped in, and yelled for us to roll up the windows. We did. We all sat there curious as to where this was coming from. We turned off the radio and still nothing changed. Tried the iPod, no change. We did everything we could, even turned the car all the way off and still no change. It was an audio, something with an auxiliary port that came from the manufacturer, so we didn't think it could be faulty wiring. Lasted for about 5 minutes or so, and towards the end, an ominous humming noise and whistles, not like a tune or anything. It sounded more like R2-D2. Just not as high-pitched or quick. Robotic and alien. Then it stopped. We sat in silence for a good 30 seconds, all of us staring at the radio monitor, waiting for more, hurting from anticipation. Then the radio clicked and started playing the music from the iPod we had tried playing and started playing at a normal volume. For a quick glance at each other and of the collective what the hell, we cranked the truck back up and tore out of there. Now, this would be the end of the story, but more happened that night. We went out to what we called the Madison House, the house in March's episode of Seeing Ghosts. We were there for one of our amateur paranormal investigations, completely forgetting about our radio because we were having a lot of other abnormal things happen inside this house. We kept finding doors we had closed open and heard a loud bang coming from the downstairs bathroom. After we finished here, eager to go over voice recordings and video, we piled in Carrie's truck to leave. Truck fires up and the music starts as normal. We all sat there trying to get situated as the music faded. It was still playing the song we had, but it seems like from one speaker to the monitor was frozen. The lights then flickered on the screen and it came back to normal. This was the only time this ever happened. I'm an EPP and plan on staying one. I thoroughly enjoy the stories and the goosebumps some of them bring along. I listened, or intend on sharing other stories when they come to mind. Thank you guys so much for what you do in creating a community where we can share our experiences and can thank everyone and can think everyone is just as crazy as I am. I, too, one day would like to do what you all do. Keep it creepy, Chris in Tennessee.
And see, nowhere in there did he mention the ghost that we saw in his photo yesterday.
No. This is from that. Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
So it makes me wonder if he saw the ghost in the background. Because, I mean, the mm-hmm. eyes, yeah, that was kind of ominous and scary.
Yeah.
But I was more taken with the person in the background of that picture.
Yeah, you caught that. I wonder if he did see that.
I don't know.
I'd be very curious if she needs to let us know. And of course, that photo we'll have in the next episode of seeing ghosts when it's up there. And it's creepy. It's I think one of the better kind of shadowy figures, but there's definition to it. It's not just like an outline.
Yeah.
There's clearly facial clothing. Anyway, check it out. If you're an EPP at ghostpodcast.com in the EPP section, you'll be, like I said, on an upcoming episode of Seeing Ghosts. If it's not out already, it will be very soon. There's plenty of other ghost photos to tide you over on there for right now. If you've not checked that out, some really, really compelling ghost photos up there. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Of course, whatever platform it is you listen to us on, be sure to press the subscribe or the follow button, whatever they call it on the platform you're listening to. That helps us grow in those rankings and helps other folks find our show by you doing that. You don't miss any episodes either. That's the most important thing. Our next letter. Hi, Jenny and Tony. First and foremost, love you guys. Great stories. You both are very entertaining. I've heard you guys talk about dreams before, and I'm not sure if my experiences have anything to do with the paranormal, night terrors, or sleep paralysis. I dreamt that I'm driving, working, eating, you name it. In my dream, I cannot wake up. It's terrifying when I'm dreaming that I'm driving and I cannot open my eyes. Can't keep myself from falling asleep. I manage to get my eyes open for a moment, and I literally cannot open my eyes. I struggle and try very hard, but again, I can't seem to open my eyes. I know I'm driving. I know I should not be sleeping and that I could hurt someone or myself. I just can't fully wake up. There are other cars in the dream which add to the terror. The entire next day, I feel weird and unsettled. Thinking back to what may be taking place in my life, there aren't any particularly stressful times. Financially stable, healthy, very much in love. It simply doesn't make sense. You ever heard of that happening to anyone? Your insight will be gratefully appreciated. Have a wonderful day. Thank you.
So I put that on there in today's show just because I don't know that I've heard of that, but I wanted to throw it out there just to see if anybody else has had that.
The driving dream?
Well, not so much the driving, but just the knowing you're dreaming, but you can't open your eyes in your dream. And then it bothering her so much that it affects her the next day.
I don't know.
I don't know either.
I haven't had that. I have in dreams oftentimes where I can't press numbers.
Yeah.
On a
like
phone.
You can't dial and you need to dial and just fat finger it constantly.
Just doesn't work.
Yep.
Every single time. And I have that happen to me in real life sometime when I'm on the computer because I use Skype for a lot of things and I'll be clicking the wrong number. I've had Skype screw up where I literally put the right number in and it calls the previous number.
Oh.
It's a glitch.
Yeah.
But, and I'm like, and I look back and think, did I type in the wrong number? Did copy and paste not work? Like, no, it's just Skype not working correctly. But that's kind of like, where it makes me take a step back, though, too. And I'm like, am I dreaming?
Sure.
Because that is like kind of one of those things that happen. But I've never had it where I've not opened or not been able to open my eyes in a dream.
Mm-hmm.
That's been my escape hatch in a dream of if I was having a nightmare when I was a kid, I knew that if I just sat there and I realized I was dreaming, I could open and close my eyes in the dream and it would wake me up.
Okay.
So that worked then. Now when I have nightmares, I try to stay in them.
Okay.
If they're spooky.
Sure.
And not like disturbing.
Yeah.
You know, if it's like ghostly stuff, I'm like, oh, this is kind of neat. It's like, because I oftentimes realize I am dreaming.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, oh, okay, let's go on this ghost adventure and see what happens. And then I don't want to wake up. Then I get kind of upset if I do get woken up.
And you can't go back to sleep and go back to where you were?
Not usually. No. No, I'm not usually. Unless like I immediately do it.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of times if I wake up, I wake up and I'm like, I should probably go use the bathroom. Otherwise, I'm just going to have to sit here. You know, so. There you go. Next letter. Hey, guys, just want to start off with how much I love you guys and your podcast. Definitely makes my workday go by a lot faster. Probably die of boredom if it weren't for being able to listen to your podcast. So keep up the good work. Anyways, my story isn't anything exciting, and most of it can probably be explained away by most people, but I feel like there's something hanging around my apartment. I moved into a new apartment in December of 2015. The first month was quiet and consisted of more "am I losing my mind" moments. I noticed that doors I had closed were opened or lights I had turned off were on, things a lot like that. Then, at the end of January, I was lying in bed trying to go to sleep when all of a sudden the end of my bed dipped as if somebody was sitting down. I figured it was my dog, so I sat up a bit to call her closer to me, but I discovered she was fast asleep in her own bed on the floor next to my bed. I kind of shrugged it off and just thought maybe my mind was playing tricks on me. Next month, my friend was visiting me from Philly, and I was in my bedroom watching TV. Well, she took a shower, and after a while, she came into my room with a panicked look on her face, and she said, "Mel, you need to come out here. You need to come see this." My heart just sank from the look on her face and tone in her voice. I had no idea what was going on. Walked out into the living room, and her jacket is propped up in the middle of the floor in the living room. Looked as if the jacket was draped over a big traffic cone. My heart was pounding so hard, I asked her if she did that, and she said she didn't, and that she also took my dog in the bathroom with her while she showered, so nobody could have possibly done that. Never experienced something like this before, so unfortunately my first thought wasn't to grab my phone or take a picture or video, but was to throw something at it. This was the last unexplainable experience I've had for a while, just back to the open doors and lights turning on for the next few months. Earlier this month, in September, I experienced another weird thing with my bed. It was about 7 a.m. I was asleep, but I woke up to my bed shaking. It was as if somebody was at the end of my bed just shaking it back and forth. I live in Texas, so it's not like there was an earthquake. Again, I thought it was my dog on my bed scratching herself, making the bed shake, but once again, when I looked up, she was fast asleep in her own bed. Just closed my eyes and tried to go back to sleep. I think the shaking lasted about 10 seconds before it stopped. I haven't experienced anything else since then, and I think my experiences could easily be explained away, but I still feel like there's something hanging around, even when there aren't doors opening or lights turning back on. I still have moments when I'm walking around and get that overwhelming feeling of somebody watching me or is behind me. No, it's nothing exciting, and sorry, it was a little long. Thanks for reading, and thank you for what you guys do.
Did she say what part of Texas?
I didn't get that part, so I was going to say, well, you could still get earthquakes.
You could still get earthquakes. I know part of the state is having problems with that, but the coat looking like it's draped over something that's not there, that's just kind of weird.
Yeah, that's ghostly.
And she's
cut two little eye holes in it.
She said she threw something at it. I want to know what happened when she threw something at it.
It's collapsed, I'm sure.
You think?
Yeah, probably.
It's just weird.
It rose up into the sky.
If it bounced off the coat.
And flew at her.
That'd be different.
And green soup came out of the... And then she remembered that she had taken some packets of pea soup the other day and put them in her pocket. That's all it was. Mm. Mystery solved.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, the bed shaking in early September... In the morning, actually, there was an earthquake.
Yeah.
Early September. And if you were in the fairly northern portion of the state, in the Dallas general vicinity, you would have felt it.
Yeah, because it was a big one in Oklahoma.
Yeah. And so that don't discount, I don't discount the other stuff. Is,
no.
But the shaking, take a look at where you're at and see where you're, what earthquakes are going on in the geological stuff. Because those are very, very slight as far as what you're going to feel, but you could nonetheless feel them, mm-hmm. depending on where you are at. We were in Dallas when that happened.
Yeah.
We didn't feel it, but other people were reporting it. But they're centered in like Oklahoma and it just kind of goes everywhere.
But there's been some in some of the, like the Irving area outside of Dallas.
Oh, as well.
There's been some that actually that was where the epicenter was.
Oh, okay. So you got some there too.
Yeah.
So just depending on where you're at. So there you go. 855-853-4802, our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to Gene in Texas. Hi.
Hi, Bruce Keith. My name is Gene, and I'm from Houston, Texas. But the story actually took place not too far from Branson, Missouri, in a small town named Monette. And it actually takes place in the house that my great-grandfather built. And I apologize in advance if it seems like this is a bit long, but there's actually several parts that tie together. As I said, the house was built by my great-granddad, and his name, we called him Hoppy, although his actual name was different than that. And they raised all kinds of animals. They had a ranch, they had horses and other things, and Hoppy was a pretty spry guy and would go out on the ranch and just ride and check out the herd. And he had a favorite axe that he carried everywhere with him. And as he got older, my family that still lives there became more concerned that he was going to be injured. And so they took his axe and they hid it from him. And this really made him very angry. He's a really nice man, but he had a temper like anyone would, especially when they get older and start to realize things aren't going like they used to. And so he looked for that axe, couldn't find it anywhere, and I guess when I was about 12, he died rather suddenly, and the axe was never found. And so flash forward to a few years later, and we were up visiting family, and my cousin started to tell me about a story that had happened not too far before us getting there, and it was about the axe. And after Hoppy, well, before Hoppy died, rather, he found the axe, as it turns out, and then hid it, and that's why no one could ever find it. And so now my cousin, who was the only boy cousin in the family at the time, wanted to have the axe as a memento because he'd spent so much time with Hoppy. And so they looked everywhere, and as I said, they couldn't find it. And so we're visiting, and my grandmother, Hoppy's daughter, was in the habit of baking fresh bread every day, and she said it kept her arthritis at bay. And so she baked bread, and because there was a lot of bread, she would freeze it in this downstairs freezer that was one of those, like a chest that would, you know, the lid opens up. And so we were visiting, as I said, and we'd get up in the mornings early, and Mimi would have gotten some of the cinnamon rolls that she had made, you know, far before, but she kept down in the freezer. So she was down in that freezer on a regular basis, probably two or three times a week. And so this particular morning, we got up, and I walked into the kitchen, and Mimi had kind of a funny look on her face and didn't think much of it. You know, we ate breakfast and went on about our day, and our visit ended. We went home, and so, as I said, my cousin was telling me the story that day, the reason her face looked funny is that she had gotten up that morning and gone downstairs to get the cinnamon rolls out, and laying on top of the freezer was the axe that they couldn't find for all that time. And the most important thing to know about this whole story is that we had actually been talking about that axe the day prior to her finding it, and so I can only guess that Hoppy must have heard what we said. And so that kind of leads into the next story. So and the next year we went to visit, and my cousins and my grandmother had said that they'd seen Hoppy off and on around the house, just kind of standing there watching, not really doing anything, but he looked like he did when he was alive, solid as all get out. So we go to visit, and I'm a little freaked out over this idea, and although I loved Hoppy, I didn't want to see him. And so we, my grandmother, of course, decided that the place we would stay, my sister and I, would be in Hoppy's old bedroom, which that really bothered me. I wasn't going to hurt her feelings, and so, you know, we kind of settled into the idea that that's where we were going to sleep. And so that afternoon, we were sitting out on their porch, and they had a screened-in porch, which is pretty common in that part of Missouri, and their dog, Heidi, came running down the steps and was standing next to us on the screened-in porch, and acted like the dog, acted like she wanted to go out. And so I started to stand up to open the door for her, and Mimi put her hand on my arm and said, just wait a minute. I thought, okay, well, that's kind of weird. And within maybe 20 seconds of Mimi saying, just wait a second, the screen door opened about 3 inches just on its own. There was no wind. There was nothing that should have opened that door, but it opened just enough that Heidi could get her nose in the doorway and push the door open enough to run out. And I looked at Mimi like, okay, what was that? And Mimi said, just wait. And so Heidi went out and ran around and did her thing. And as she came back, I sat and waited this time. And again, the door just opened just enough as Heidi ran up that she could get her nose in between the door frame and the door and run back in the house. So needless to say, I was already a little freaked out before this, and now I'm completely freaked out. And so that night, my sister and I, it was time to go to bed, and we were downstairs in, as I said, Hoppy's bedroom. And my parents were in a bedroom at the very back of the house. And one thing you need to know about Hoppy is that he would stay up pretty late at night, probably, I'd say, 2 or 3. It was pretty common for him to just stay up, and then he'd go to bed. Well, my grandmother at the time had plastic runners all through her house that would protect the floor. And so we were asleep, and I heard the sound of Heidi's nails on the plastic runners. It made kind of a clicking sound, and so that woke me up. And I was on the side closest to the bed, closest to the door. And so I heard the sound. I rolled over to tell Heidi to come jump on the bed and snuggle in with us. And standing in the doorway was my grandfather, my great-grandfather, Hoppy. plain as day, looked just like he did when he was alive. And I remember it scared me so badly that I suddenly couldn't breathe. But I could reach over and slap my sister, who was sleeping next to me. She wakes up, rolls over, sees him as well. And suddenly I had air and I started, you know, crying and screaming. And she started screaming and we jumped up. And I don't frankly know what Hoppy did. I'm pretty sure he probably shook his head and walked away or walked back to wherever he was. But we ran down the hall and jumped in our parents' bed, you know, upset. And my mother said, "You are not to say a word to Mimi in the morning. You just keep this to yourself. You guys both just had a bad dream. It's not Hoppy. And so we don't want to upset grandmother." And so the next morning, I got up before everyone else, and I went into the kitchen. And, of course, Mimi was already up, had the cinnamon rolls out, coffee made. And I sat down, and she said, "You know, I heard some noise last night. Are y'all okay? I heard screaming and crying." And I said, "Oh, yeah," because, you know, I remember my mother saying, "Don't say a word to Mimi about it." And I said, "Yeah, oh, yeah, we were just, I had a bad dream, and it scared my sister. And so she woke up, and she started crying, too." And my grandmother looked at me, and she said, "No, I know exactly what happened. Hoppy came to see you, and I know this because he came to see me, too. You don't hate him. He loves you, and he just wanted to say goodbye." So that's my story. I hope you enjoy it, and I look forward to hearing more of your great stories on the radio. Thank you.
So he's just still hanging out, watching over everybody and letting the dog in and out.
I like just the end where it's like, "No, this is all it was."
Yeah.
Just very confident. That's there. No big deal.
Oh, yeah.
Just as if just very matter of fact.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. And yeah, I it's, again, I think one of those stories, fairly self-explainable. You know, it is what it is. And so thank you for sharing that experience with us. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Go to share your real ghost stories with us. We, of course, would love to hear them because, incidentally, that's what we do. We listen to ghost stories. Let's go to Matthew in Canada. Hi, Matthew.
Hello, Tony and Jenny. Matthew in Montreal here to thank you for the show. I find it very inspiring, finding correlations between stories and complete differences, but all under the flavor of what the heck just happened. The unexplained, the mysterious. I love it. It's fascinating to me. So maybe we'll never understand it in our lifetimes, ever, on this plane of existence, but it doesn't mean it's not fascinating and that we should not try, at least, to understand a fraction of it. So thank you for that. Your show is fantastic. I don't listen to any other podcast on the subject. And yours fulfills all my needs of stories about those things. So my story starts when I was 5 years old. I'm 38 now. I had a younger sister and a younger brother. So I was the eldest. And we moved into our first house after living for years in apartments. So finally we would have all the space that we needed. So it was great relief, great expectations, great fun ahead for all of us. On the first day of moving, I made my first friend. So it looked like it was going to be amazing. But in about 2 weeks, you know, about 2 weeks after we moved in, something happened. So every night, I had the habit of going down the stairs, because my bedroom that I shared with my little brother was on the second floor. There was a staircase that was closed off from the rest of the house with a small door. I mean, with a door with a small window. So the only light that came into that staircase was from the streetlights bouncing around the living room and a little bit of it filtering through the small window. So dimly lit staircase. Now, that could be scary for a lot of kids, but I wasn't scared because I loved the night. I loved the quiet. I loved the peace of it. I enjoyed it, and I felt privileged to live in it when I was awake alone at night. So that's just an important part of the story here. So as I was going down the stairs that night, as every other night, you know, almost every night, going down to the washroom, I had my bathroom break about every middle of the night. I had my blankie with me because I carried it everywhere, and I loved it. My grandma knitted for me. And, you know, one step at a time, you know, one foot down, the other foot down, you know, and then second step, one foot down, other foot. I really took my time because it was not a bladder emergency. I knew it was coming, so I woke up and slowly would make my way down to the washroom on the main floor. But that night, there were some noises coming from the walls, one wall in particular. And those walls were naked. There was nothing on them. They were just fake wood paneling. And the house was probably built a little bit before the 50s and redecorated in the 60s or something. I'm not an expert, but that's how I feel it was. And there was some kind of what I thought at first was smoke. It was bluish, and it came from the wall. And it came out in the shape of something, as if it was smoke coming from a heating vent. There was no heating vent that I could see. Maybe there was underneath the wood paneling, but if it was, it's not logical that the fog would come out in that shape because of the paneling. I never investigated that later. My parents would have frowned upon a 5-year-old bashing the wall with a hammer, so I never even tried. But, as I saw and felt that smoke coming out, which did not smell like smoke, it was bluish, translucent, and, you know, at first, I didn't know what it was, so I wasn't scared, you know, but the noises, there were some noises coming from the walls at the same time. And as the fog got more concentrated and the shape was forming more precisely, so was the noise. The noise sounded very vague at first, like some kind of humming, mumbling, and then it sounded more like a voice, like someone was... But then eventually it was more like... like someone laughing with their mouth closed. So at that point, I had to ask, because I was concerned. I don't want my family to be awakened by whatever or whoever that is. I mean, sleep is important. So feeling protective, I was like, "Who is it?" And the thing gradually got louder and louder as it said, "A ghost." A ghost. A ghost. Now, I'm in the middle of the park. It's about 3 o'clock in the morning. I don't want to wake up the neighbors and get the police on my case because I'm not supposed to be in the park. You know, in big cities, they prevent people from being in the park at night, which I find oppressive. Anyways, at that point, I'm terrified. I can see that face now clearly. I'm not kidding. It's a giant floating blue face with a sadistic expression on its face, like, "I'm going to hurt you and I'm going to enjoy every second of it." And I never met someone with that face on, but my instincts kicked in. I mean, I want to say that my parents never exposed me to anything that was that sort. I never saw a ghost movie or a horror movie of any kind. My parents were weary of my wild imagination. They did not want to fuel it too much, obviously. So I don't know how I understood that that thing was a threat, but I did, deep down. So I screamed. I mean, at that point, I had to wake up the family. I just screamed. I couldn't speak. I was hysterical. And, you know, I couldn't be stopped until they would shake me and say, "What's going on? What happened?" I explained. I told a story when I could catch my breath. And they were like, "Oh, you were just... It's just your imagination again. You were just sleeping. You're just sleepwalking again. You know, just go back to sleep and don't wake us up again like that." So I was, of course, frustrated, betrayed, angry at my family, because neither of my siblings nor my parents believed me when I said that I saw a ghost. And, you know, kids talk, so I knew what a ghost was, even though I never saw one on TV or anything. But from that moment on, I never saw a ghost again, and I'm 38. But I could feel them, and I still can, sometimes, if it's strong enough. I can't say that I'm a full-on medium or anything, but I can go to a place and have to go back. I have to step away and say, "I'm not getting in there, sorry." I'll tell you other stories like that later at another time. But yes, as an adult, it happened too. So from that moment on, it was like I had been triggered. I had been awakened to some other sense, and I could feel them, unfortunately, because at that point, I became the main and only target to these ghosts who became my first bullies. Imagine being 5 years old, living in a house with your family who don't believe you. You're the only sensitive person there. And anytime you freak out, day or night, about being attacked by those things you can't see, they just tell you how annoying you are. And I'm shaking right now. Just the frustration is still there, and I'm 38. parents should listen to their kids more when they say things like, "There's a ghost in my house, you know, there's a monster under my bed." Pay attention, at least, even if you don't believe. Don't make them feel like they're making stuff up when they are sure that they're not. Even if it's, I don't know, even if they were making it up, the feeling that somebody is supporting them can help them get through a lot of it. So just remember that if you're listening to that. And if you know somebody who's all no-nonsense about such things and don't believe, please help them understand. Try to tell them that, you know, the kids need to feel like they have support somehow, like they're not alone in this, that you're going to at least make an effort to understand and maybe investigate with them what it is. Because what if something happened? What if something more powerful than the average ghost who can't touch you physically would actually grab your kids and leave with it, you know, or harm them in any way? So it's up to us adults to try to, you know, be protective of our kids, of things visible or not, you know? Anyways, end of my speech. Yeah, so they bullied me day in and day out, inside and out of the house, backyard, side of the house, but never in the front yard for some reason. I only realized that years later. Nothing ever happened on the front yard for some reason. I wish I had realized that when I was still living there. It would have been a haven for me, but it never was because I didn't know. Anyways, what they would do is they would sneak up behind me, and despite not being able to make to touch me physically, they would make me feel like they could. So what they would do is, as soon as they came close enough, I would see an image in my mind. Even though they were behind me, I could totally see their long arms, impossibly long fingers, white, you know, dead fish belly-colored skin. Imagine those long arms grabbing at you from behind. You can't see them with your eyes, but you can see them in your mind. And they're grabbing onto your shoulders, like from atop, wrapping their long fingers in the front of your shoulders, and then slowly dragging or softly crawling up your neck to the side of it, and then pretend that they're strangling you with extremely cold arms and hands, as if they had been outside for 20 minutes in the winter of North America, Canada, for example, and came in really quick and tried to, you know, shock you with the cold, but that cold didn't go away. It just stayed as long as they touched you. So that's what they love to do, like one of the things they love to do. Sometimes their mere presence was enough to throw me into a panic because I didn't know what else they were going to do. So again, they couldn't touch me physically, and I wish somebody would have told me. I wish I had understood that. I would have felt a lot more brave about being there and living there. But anytime I was alone in the room or outside, day or night, I would be susceptible to attack. It would take them a few seconds. As soon as somebody left, and I was the only one left there, within eyesight or within reasonable walking distance, then they would attack within seconds. So I always found an excuse to follow someone out of the room or run someplace where there was anyone around. For some reason, they just could not attack if there was somebody around. Stranger or person I knew, didn't matter. As long as I was alone, it was free range for them. So that was frustrating. Their hot spots were, the main one was in the basement, and another one was around my bedroom. Because on one side of my bedroom was a closet, which connected to the attic that was made for insulation, you know, synthetic wool. And on the other side, opposite wall, was the attic where we would store things. And I had to go into both, of course, closet and storage area. So anytime I was asked to go there, I would freak out a little bit, but I had to force myself to do it because my parents would if I didn't. So sleeping in that room was not peaceful. I eventually developed strategies to feel safer, and somehow, if you feel safer, then you are for certain of those spirits. I've discovered that over the years after different kinds of experiences. If you feel confident, they don't have much power over you, at least most of them. I do believe that some are stronger and that they have more range, more access, more power, more something they can do to you. But those in that house, thankfully, were limited in what they could do, which was enough to, you know, traumatize me for life. So, anyways, besides the sneaking, they would just be around and make me feel their presence and make me see things in my mind. Again, I could not see them with my eyes at that point. I never could. I never saw another ghost in my life. I could feel them. I still can, if it's powerful enough. But you can hardly sleep. So when they're always there, even though I was sharing a room with my brother, as long as he was asleep, they had free range of my personal space. So I started to start sleeping with my bed sheets over my head, and I had a rosary. I'm not kidding, a glow-in-the-dark plastic rosary that my grandma gave me. I was religious back then, so prayer brought me a lot of comfort. I'm grateful for that, even though I'm non-religious anymore. I believe people should be able to think and do for themselves, as opposed to being told what to believe and what to do. But anyways, that's another speech. But as long as you feel safe, then you are, at least in those creatures' case. So I started sleeping with my bedsheets over my head, and I did until I was 16, even though that was years after we moved out of that house. I had to train myself away from that behavior because it was embarrassing. I could never go to sleepovers because I would be afraid of people mocking me for having to sleep with the bedsheets over my head all night. It felt like if they couldn't see my body, then I was safe in some kind of cocoon. So, stuff like that. I also had an opportunity once to learn woodworking very early on because my father had a wood shop in the basement and he decided to give me a great gift. He found all the tools for woodworking that were the size of a child's hands, but they were real tools, not toys. And he had wood for me and he told me, if you learn to use these tools safely, I'm going to teach you how to use the wood lathe and all the other power tools. And I was very excited about that for a few seconds until I realized my workshop area is in his workshop, which is in the basement, which was their hottest spot of those ghosts. Even when my father was there with me, if he started a powerful, noisy power tool, then it's like the noise was being some kind of cover for them and they could start attacking me again. I never understood why, but that's what happened. Anytime I was there in the basement, alone or with him, if there was noise. If I was alone, it could be quiet, it could be noisy, it didn't matter. I could speak out loud, it wouldn't deter them. So because of that, and I begged my father, I said, can you please allow me to bring the wood stuff outside in the backyard? I promise to pick up after myself, I won't even leave a wood chip. He said no, he's a no-nonsense kind of guy, and he didn't believe in those things. So he said, no, you're going to work the wood in the wood shop or nothing at all. So I chose nothing at all. I never learned to do woodworking until just a few years ago. In my business, I'm a puppet maker as a living. Woodworking is a very important part of it, if you like that sort of thing, and I do. So I had a few decades of a delay because of a bunch of ghost bullies. Very frustrating indeed. So, yeah. All the time until I was maybe 11 when we moved out, which was a relief for me. When my parents divorced, I was not traumatized. I was relieved. I immediately realized that they can't afford to keep the house, not as single parents, so they're going to have to sell it, and that means we're moving out. So to me, that was a great relief, not counting also the fact that I knew for years that my parents were not, in love anymore. So that was great, that was sad, but it was great for me because I wouldn't have to suffer anymore. So years later, my mother was a lot more open-minded about things, and there's a story I'm going to share with you in the future where she actually came through for me. So it's great to see that people are growing in different ways, even after their formative years. So yeah. Years and years of being bullied by a bunch of ghosts. I cannot deny that this happened to me, even decades after the fact, especially since I have reminders once in a while, little or big episodes of feeling the unexplained, the invisible, and the threatening without explanation. So I have other stories to share. I'm excited to be able to bring that to a new audience. Usually I tell that to people in person at parties and other conversation times, but sharing this with people of like mind, people who've lived things like that, or people who are just fascinated by it, it's a great relief, and I learn a lot from your stories. So thank you very much, everybody who's been sharing. I've barely scratched the surface of all the episodes, the free ones, the EPPs. So thank you so much, Matthew in Montreal.
Thank you for the call, or the email with the audio, Matthew.
So when you have ghost bullies like that, I think it's interesting that he still has an interest in the paranormal. And I think, too, it's one of those cases like we talked about a couple shows ago, where after he had that first experience, then he just has experiences from then on. And I think we've kind of questioned whether or not that's how it goes for people.
Mm-hmm. Like once the door's open, it stays open.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think too, I suppose, you were just asking, how does he, have an interest in the topic and mm-hmm. continue to go on? I think it's almost once you start having that, if it hasn't been part of your life, it almost just, it becomes a normal thing.
Yeah.
It becomes as normal as, the floor in the hallway is brown. Mm-hmm. It's kind of an accepted thing. In your life, and you just kind of go on with it. That is a part of what life is, and so it makes it almost more acceptable, if you will, as long as it's not like uber terrifying and it's something you want to block out.
And see, that's where I thought maybe mm-hmm. he would go with it, that,
sure,
because it was so scarring mm-hmm. that maybe he'd block it out, but he sure. still listens to our show and
yeah.
contributes, and I find that that fascinating.
I suppose it can almost be somewhat, you know, therapeutic of just like, oh, I'm not alone in this. And other people, you know, the reason a lot of people listen to us is just validation of, okay, this stuff happens. Mm-hmm. He says he's a puppeteer or
puppet maker.
Mm-hmm. You know, we get a lot of pictures, fan art of people, you know, sending us, you know, drawings and things of us, which is awesome. Hey, I got to ask Matthew, can you make a puppet of Jenny and me?
Oh, that would be...
That would be awesome. I would totally, totally use that in not only child rearing, just like on What About Bob.
Oh, where, God. Yeah, I knew you were going to talk about
hold
that.
The puppets up. But no, I mean, I would totally, you know, use that in a future episode, one of the video episodes, and share that. I don't know. I don't know how he does or what he does or any of that. But if that's a possibility, I ask you, Matthew, to consider the idea, because that would be awesome to have our own puppets.
If not,
not no big
just
deal.
Just get a sock and draw your face on it.
Exactly. It'll work just the same. Mm-hmm. Harper loves the there's one of the photos that one of our listeners sent in to us. We have it over in the corner on one of the shelves over there, and she loves it. She's like, ah, it's cartoon mommy and daddy.
Yeah.
Look, mommy's mad at daddy. Daddy's being so funny. It's the reaction that we have in here so often. But she just loves looking at that picture. But anyhow, puppets.
Yeah.
That would be awesome. All right, Matthew, thank you for the story. We greatly appreciate that. Phone number here is 855-853-4802. If you like the show, please consider becoming an EPP. Sign up on the website ghostpodcast.com. Get all the bonus episodes of our show. Brand new ones every single week as well. Exclusive video content and more up there. Ghostpodcast.com. That's what keeps this thing on the air. Check it out. And thank you in advance for that. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.